Good morning, boys and girls.
Good morning.
We're turning to John chapter 17. Nice to see some of you are already there. We're going to read verses 6 and 7. Verses 6 and 7 of John chapter 17. This is our seventh study in this wonderful prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ, which pictures for us what he is praying right now, what he is bringing before his Father right now in heaven. Verse 6 then says, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me. And they have kept thy word. Now they have known all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. May the Lord bless this brief little reading from his word. There's so much there. Even as I read it to you, I see more points that I could make other than the ones that, with the help of the Lord, I plan to set before you this morning. God's word is so rich, boys. So rich. First thing I want you to notice is this. We are told here the task that was given to the Lord Jesus by his Father to carry out while he was on his mission on earth some 2,000 years ago. We're told what that task was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. That was the purpose of Christ amongst the disciples, to manifest the name of God. Now, first of all, let's think of what this word manifest means. It's not a word that we might use in common conversation, though it's not an unfamiliar word, generally speaking. The word simply means to reveal, to make known. That's what it means. To reveal, to make known. So the Savior is saying, I have revealed, I have made known thy name unto the men which thou gavest me in the world. Whenever we meet someone that we have never met before, there is always an introduction. Now, I'm sure in your home, a visitor has come in, and when they came, there you were, and the visitor was known to Mum or known to Dad, but not known to you, and they had never met you. So Mum or Dad will say, and this here is the biggest rascal in the world. Oh, no, they wouldn't say that. This here is my little boy or my little girl. And they'll give your name as well. And the visitor, most likely, will reach out and take your hand. And that's an introduction. That's how there is a revealing to the visitor of who you are. And a revealing to you of who the visitor is. Now keep that in mind, and as we think of what the Savior had come to do. He said, I have manifested thy name. I have made an introduction to my disciples of you, Father. I've made thee known unto them. And boys and girls, that's what the gospel's all about. That's what God wants to do today. He wants to be introduced to you if you don't know him. And I'm taking the word of the Lord Jesus, carrying out his word, and doing what it was he had come into the world to accomplish. Introduce you to the God of heaven. What a privilege that is. It's very, very unlikely that any of you will ever meet the Queen or, sorry, the King. I'm sort of behind the times. It's not very likely. And I have to say you wouldn't miss much if it didn't take place. Because in the light of eternity, meeting the King is of no significance. But meeting God is, being introduced to God is of great importance. I want to read to you from the book of Hebrews. Older ones, have a look. Hebrews chapter 8 and the verse 8. That's not too hard to find. You younger ones, just listen and I'll read to you what we find in Hebrews chapter 8 and the verse 8, because hearing is very important. Hebrews chapter 8 and the verse 8 says this, "For finding fault with them, he saith," here's the important words, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt." Do you see that? Didn't I say that when you are introduced to someone you have never met before, the chances are they'll shake you by the hand? And boys and girls, when we are introduced for the first time to the Lord, if we are acting properly when introduced to the Lord, we will find that He takes our hand, and from that day forward, He holds on to us. We're His. That's what the Lord Jesus came into the world to do, to manifest the name of His Father to His disciples, to reveal His Father to His disciples, to make His Father known to His disciples, to bring about a meeting whereby He would introduce His Father, and they would from that day forward know Him. And as we read here in Hebrews 8 and 9, God takes the hand of those who are introduced to Him through the gospel of the Lord Jesus. Tell me, where's your hand today? Is it reaching out to the world? Has it a hold upon worldly things? Or is your hand in the hand of God? Is your hand in the hand of God? And is He leading you all the way to heaven? Then the second thing I want you to notice here, for it's stated in our verses, and that is this. Notice who it is to whom the Lord Jesus introduces His Father. It has to be noted, girls and boys, that He didn't come to introduce His Father to everyone. Oh, there's a large number of people in this world that the Savior wants to introduce His Father to. But specifically, He had a people in mind. And I'm thinking again of a large collection of people, and someone says to a companion, "Oh, look, there's someone I want you to meet." Someone in that crowd, this person wants to introduce his companion to, and so they make their way through the crowd so they come right into the presence of the person. Say, "Listen, I'd like you to meet. The Lord Jesus came into this world, and He had His eye upon a special people, and to them He wanted to introduce His Father." Tell me, do you know the Father today? Have you been introduced to the Lord? Because if you have, that makes you special. Not because of anything in you, but because the love of God has reached out and embraced you. Listen to what I say. Because what I have just said to you is based upon what the Savior tells us here in verses 6 and 7. Read them again. "I have manifested Thy name unto the men which Thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and Thou gavest them me." A special people were targeted by the Lord, and to them He introduced His Father. Boys and girls, what the Savior is speaking of here is a doctrine that we know as the doctrine of election. Now, you know what an election is. Elections take place in the countryside, and on that day, people go along to a special place, get a piece of paper on which there's a long list of names, and they put a mark at the name of the person they want to choose and to have elected as their representative in Parliament. That's what we call an election. It's the choosing of a person. Well, God had an election in which He chose a people, but He did it in eternity, and He chose a people for Himself, and it was to that people Christ came to introduce to them the Father. I can't explain the matter any better, boys and girls, than by reading to you the answer that's given in the Shorter Catechism to the question 20. The answer is this, and listen carefully, you old ones in particular, you already maybe have started the Shorter Catechism, maybe you've come on this, so it'll be somewhat familiar to you, but listen to it, every one of you. God, having out of his mere good pleasure, from all eternity, elected some to everlasting life, did enter into a covenant of grace to deliver them out of the estate of sin and misery and to bring them into an estate of salvation by a Redeemer. That, in essence, is what the Lord Jesus came to carry out, going to those that God from all eternity had chosen for himself. He revealed to them the purpose of God to save them and to bring them to heaven. He introduced his Father and his Father's plan for them. That's what the gospel is. The gospel is a telling of men and women of God's plan to take sinners to heaven, whom he has chosen from all eternity. What a wonderful thing it is. What a wonderful thing it is. And I have to underscore what it says very wisely here, that God, out of his mere good pleasure, in other words, if you're one of God's children, he didn't come along and say, oh, that's a nice wee boy or a nice wee girl. They're very good and well behaved. No, he didn't. In truth, when he looked at you, he didn't see a good wee boy or a good wee girl. He saw a sinner. But God was pleased, sinful and all as we may be, to set his love and his saving grace upon those he had thus chosen. Not because of any good in us, boys and girls. And I want to emphasize that. If you're saved today, you don't have the right to clap yourself on the back, if you could actually do that. Suppose you could reach around and clap yourself on the back, but you don't have the right to do that and take pride in yourself, because God, out of his mere good pleasure, despite what you were by nature, has set his love upon you and saved you. It's important that I stress that. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ makes us humbly realize how lost and wicked and sinful we are and how undeserving of God's mercy we are. And it makes us rejoice in the kindness and grace of God that he should have set his love upon such unworthy one. Now, the last thing I want to say is this. Those who are the elect of God, those chosen by God in eternity, when they hear Christ's introduction, when they hear his word, they keep it. That's the difference. You see what it says here in our text? The Lord Jesus says, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. They have kept thy word. You see, when the gospel is preached, if we could imagine that the words of the preacher of the gospel were visible to our eyes, after the meeting, the congregation would get up and go out the door and head home. And if you were to come back to the seats where they had been sitting, you would find here and there and yonder, lying on the floor, the gospel words. Others had heard them and kept them and brought them home in their heart. But there were those who heard and just threw away. What have you done with the gospel, boys and girls? Have you just cast it aside, ignored it? Or have you taken hold upon it and kept it? That's what the Lord Jesus said. I have given thy word to those whom thou hast chosen, and they have kept it. And that's the mark of one upon whom God has set his love. When I was reading my Bible yesterday morning, I read these words. You'll find them, you older ones, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, in the verse 13 and 14. Paul is writing to the Thessalonians, and he's remembering how they reacted to the gospel when it was first preached to them. Listen to what we read, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, and for this cause also, thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of man, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. For ye, brethren, became followers of the churches of God which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. Now, notice, two words, received, followed. They received the gospel, and they took it into their heart and into their life. They held on to it, they kept it, and they became followers of all the Christians who in like fashion have believed the word of God. Who are you following today? Is it the world with its foolish notions that will take it to everlasting damnation? Are you following the people of God? Are you amongst the flock that the Lord Jesus says he's leading? Can you say, like the psalmist said in Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I'm following him. I've heard his call. I haven't ignored it. I haven't turned my back upon it. But I'm following. What are you doing? Are you ignoring what I say now? If the words of the gospel were visible, could I go to your feet and find there the words I'm speaking to you? Because you've cast them aside. You don't want to heed. You don't want to obey. The mark of a true Christian, then, boys and girls, is that they keep the word of God and they follow the Lord and are amongst those who are followers of him. Is that mark on you today? Is it? Is that what sets you apart from all others? If it is, just remember this. There is a day coming when God is going to part the inhabitants of the world. On his right hand, he will set those who heard the gospel and kept it. On the left hand, there are those who have rejected the word of God and are lost forever. Oh, heed the truth today. Keep the words of Christ. Make them yours. Believe on them and be saved. We're going to close in a word of prayer. O God, our Heavenly Father, I pray that thou would make effectual the applying of the gospel this morning. Speak to the boys and girls. O God, gather each one of them into thy fold. May there none be lost, Lord, who ever came to our school. O God of mercy, God of mercy, bless the school today. Undertake for it in every matter. Bless the teachers. Be with them. May the joy of God be their strength. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.